In a bit of very expensive global political theater, NATO went to great lengths this month to show that it means business and would stand against Russia if Vladimir Putin launched an invasion into a country besides already war-torn Ukraine or occupied and annexed Crimea. Do the Baltics feel safe? Or Poland, which is right at the center of all this? NATO's training exercise, Operation Anaconda 16, more than 31,000 troops from 24 nations simulating what would happen in a Russian attack on Poland. Putin downplayed the whole thing last weekend, saying that NATO is only trying to justify its existence with these war games.
What they need is an external enemy. Otherwise, no one would think why this organization is needed. There is no more Warsaw Pact, neither the USSR. Why would they need it? If we stick to this very logic, the scaremongering, that's probably the way to a Cold War. Our logic is of a different aim at finding compromises and negotiations and cooperation.
Russian President Vladimir Putin speaking to CNN's Fareed Zakaria at a panel discussion in St. Petersburg over the weekend. Other Russian officials this week and last have angrily denounced the banning of the Russian track and field team from participating in the upcoming Summer Olympics in Rio. It's the first time in history an entire team has been banned from participation because of doping. Russian officials said this was another sign of the West treating Russia unfairly. Kimberly Martin is professor of political science at Columbia University's Barnard College. Kimberly, professor, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Let's just talk generally. What's the Russian reaction, the Putin reaction to the ban, the war games, just this whole sense as the summer begins?
Well, you know, it's really kind of amusing because, of course, Putin is the one who needs an external enemy to keep his internal regime in power. Nobody would tolerate his authoritarianism if they didn't think that there was an external enemy that they had to fight against. And in terms of saying that the Olympic ban has anything to do with the West, these are global organizations. They're not Western organizations. And also, there have been Western teams that have been affected by the rulings that have come out from these groups.
So can the Russians really say never mind about the Olympics and not suffer some sort of domestic problem once there's no Russian flag on the podium?
It's really going to be a dilemma for Putin because his primary goal is to make Russia a great power again. And obviously, the Soviet Union always did so well in the Olympics. It was sort of part of how the Soviet Union portrayed its glory internationally. And now to have that fall apart because of accusations of corruption that touch very closely to the top of his regime, including him himself, it's an embarrassment. And so he's going to have a hard time figuring out this one.
Some members of the EU have warned that it may be scaremongering, in the words of Vladimir Putin, to pursue a aggressive NATO policy on the border with Russia. Here's German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier warning that saber-rattling and war crimes directed at Russia is wrong, and anyone who believes that symbolic tank parades on the alliance's eastern border will increase security is wrong. Is that a widely held view within the EU? And is that something that the Obama administration and NATO is likely to take to heart?
Well, I think there's some countries in the EU that are split, and Germany is one of them. But there is a very strong sense among an important group of German leaders that Russia really violated the entire understanding of what the post-Cold War order was supposed to be like when it unilaterally invaded Crimea, because borders were not supposed to be changed that way. And so Germany is one of the places where we're seeing that kind of disagreement come to the forefront. But I think it's too early to say that the people who are more cooperative in orientation towards Russia are the ones who are going to come out on top. Certainly, Putin is very happy to see any kind of dissension that is possible within NATO.
So let's make you the president of Latvia. How safe are you feeling right now after these war games?
You know, I don't think it's the war games themselves that make a difference. It's the fact that NATO is paying attention to the Baltics and to Poland and saying, we haven't forgotten you and we are not going to desert you. Because a year or two ago, everybody was saying, oh, it would never be in U.S. interest to actually come to the defense of the Baltics. And so we should just maybe leave the Baltics to hang out to dry. It was a mistake to let them into NATO to start with.
Is that what this war games did in kind of a way? Because if they'd done a war game simulating an invasion of Estonia or something, that would have been much more provocative than Poland. Does anyone really expect that Poland would be a target?
Well, it depends what you mean by target. I don't think anybody is actually expecting that it is in Russia's interest to have a land-based typical military invasion of any NATO country. So the question is whether they would try to somehow disrupt something at a political level, create a situation of tension and riots.
With Russian speakers inside the Baltics, for instance.
Yes, exactly. And what Putin is really good at doing is surprising people, at pulling things out of a hat that nobody was expecting. And so I don't think that this shows that we are ready to take on anything that Putin might come up with. Instead, it shows that we are paying attention to what Putin is doing and that the Baltics are part of the NATO alliance that are still very important and that nobody is ignoring them.
Okay, so the rabbit Putin pulls out of the hat this week is something to manipulate the vote on Brexit. Do you think he's pro or anti Brexit?
Well, I think he would be interested in anything that causes the European Union to fall apart.
So that's a leave vote there. So finally, has he bought time with oil prices stabilized at this higher level?
It's very interesting that what Putin and his team have done is allowed the ruble to fall. And so as a result, they have actually continued to make money even with lower oil prices because, of course, when the ruble falls with the dollar and oil is traded in dollars, it still means that there are rubles coming into the economy. And so he's played that one very well.
Never bet against the brain of an oligarch, I guess. That's
well,
the rule there.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But the other thing to keep in mind is that the real problem with the Russian economy is that it hasn't been decentralized. It hasn't been privatized. It is still being run in a very inefficient way with lots of corruption.
Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Columbia University's Barnard College. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me back, John.